You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to Your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained. And each and every week, it's all about the Montreal Canadiens. We are very excited to be with you here this week because, let's face it, hockey season has basically officially kicked off. There are teams on the ice, rookies at least. We've got lots to talk about today. We're going to take you all through it in just a minute. First, though, let me introduce myself. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show for episode 365 of the Canadiens Connection podcast, titled Rookies Impress, Crosby Rumors Intensify, and Training Camp Buzz. We have so much to cover today because once the practice facilities reopen, once rookie camp begins, the flood of news and information just can't be stopped. And so with me to take you through each bit of information that's come through this past week, today, of course, is my wonderful co-host, our founder and president of Rocket Sports. He's here in the studio with me, Mr. Rick Stevens. How you doing today?
It's game day.
It's game day.
When's the last time we could say that?
It's been so long. Yeah. Saturday night hockey.
Saturday night at the Bell Center. The Montreal Canadiens versus the Winnipeg Jets. As you said, they're prospects. It's the prospect showdown. But still,
it's hockey.
They're wearing Montreal Canadiens jerseys, and it's at the Bell Center, and fans are pretty excited.
I think everybody's pretty excited to get this show on the road. You know, we've been talking about it all summer, and the time to put up or shut up for the rookies and for the veterans once they report next week, it's here. So today, what are we going to talk about? Well, there's lots of roster news for us to cover with you as we go through things. Also, the Habs prospect report. Guess what? There are more rankings out. Some new analysis on some of the Canadiens' top prospects that we want to talk about, as well as some interesting news from around the NHL in general, particularly in regards to some goaltenders and some contract extensions that we want to talk about. Then in our second segment, the prospect showdown, training camp buzz, and all of the Crosby speculation, we're going to take you through, first of all, the chatter about Sidney Crosby getting traded to Montreal continues to heat up this week. And so we're going to take you through some of the reporting that's been done, what has been said, what hasn't been said, and give you our take on that whole situation. And then the big news this week really is that the rookie camp is already underway. They've had their medicals. They've had a couple of days of practice. As Rick said, the prospect showdown, which is the four-team rookie tournament taking place in Montreal this weekend, kicks off on Saturday night. And so that means we are finally getting our first look at the prospects, and we're hearing from them for the first time from all summer. And so we're going to bring you lots of audio from a lot of different Canadiens prospects talking about how they're coming into camp, how they're feeling, what's changed, what we can expect. And we're going to analyze all of that as well. And also let you know how the lineups have been looking during rookie camp. And then, of course, in our third segment, that's when we let you have your say. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, as well as a two-part Canadians Connection question of the week for you to answer this week. So stick around for that.
There's just that much going on that we had to have a two-part question.
It has to be a two-part question. So if you want to get involved with the show, it's an interactive show. We want to hear your answers to our fan questions. We want to hear your questions to us. We want to hear your statements, your thoughts, your opinions. And the best way to do that is to reach out to us any time of the week at our Rocket Sports text line. You can text us anytime at 585-3-ROCKET. Again, that's 585-3-ROCKET. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel, which you can find over at InsideTheCanadians.com, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, or Instagram. And without further ado, let us get underway. We have an injury to report. Sorry, that's how we have to start.
No.
Hockey season has begun and we have an injury to report.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, not one that's, I shouldn't say thankfully, because it's not something that's fun to deal with, but won't be something that will be too long lasting. And that is young forward Hayden Papanekis not participating in rookie camp because he's got mono.
Oh.
Mononucleosis. So he's going to be out for a little bit.
Hayden Papanekis drafted this past June, third round pick, 69th overall. And the 6'5" forward registered at 203 pounds when he came to the rookie camp. And interestingly enough, he was featured in the Canadiens behind the scenes draft video. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, so we'll be getting back to Hayden.
All right. That sounds good. Thankfully, that's the only injury we have to report. And let's keep it that way. So on September 10th, the Canadiens did open rookie camp. As I said, had their medicals and off-ice physicals first, which is how we know now, you know, what guys are weighing in at after their summer of training, and so on and so forth. All of that, I shouldn't say culminating in the prospect showdown, because they're actually going to continue training camp they're going to wrap up training camp next week before training camp begins. But the prospect showdown is the big show, is the big to-do. It's 2 days, September 13th and 14th at the Bell Center, where the Canadiens, the Winnipeg Jets, the Ottawa Senators, and the Toronto Maple Leafs all have their prospects on display, playing in a little mini tournament against each other. And, it's good experience just to get into some game action and be able to evaluate the prospects. It's great for the fans. They're anxious to get back into the Bell Center and back to watching hockey. But Laval head coach and, of course, the coach who's running rookie camp, Pascal Vincent, also mentioned some additional value this week to having an event like the Prospect Showdown.
I think we're just giving mileage to our guys, giving them a chance to get to know each other, worrying. Montreal Canadiens is the most successful franchise in the hockey history. And to be able to wear that logo for 2 games at the Bell Center, just that experience alone is huge. Being on the ice, we work on drills that Montreal does as well, the systems, and just giving them that little mileage for a week, to me, it's big for those young players.
Yeah, pretty important. Some of those at the prospect, or who will be playing in the prospect showdown, will have gone through this before. But for some, it's first exposure to putting on that Montreal Canadiens jersey, stepping out onto the Bell Center ice, and hearing the fan response, getting involved in game action. And when they go back to wherever they might be playing, their junior team or the Laval Rocket, they'll have had that experience, which, as Pascal Vincent said, is so important. Also, they'll train using Canadians' drills and systems. Mm-hmm. That's very important too. So the whole experience is something they're setting the stage and reminding these prospects who may have been taken at the June draft that you're part of a pretty great organization. And some of them will get their first exposure to that on Saturday night when the Montreal Canadiens prospects face the Winnipeg Jets prospects, followed by Canadiens versus the Leafs on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. At 3:00. And Saturday afternoon, Ottawa and the Leafs will be playing at the Bell Center. And then Sunday evening, it will be the Jets and the Leafs facing off. No, the Jets and the Senators.
And the Senators, yeah.
Facing off against one another. So Ottawa is the only, Ottawa and Montreal are the only two teams that will not face off against each other.
Which is fine
because you'll see plenty of Ottawa during the preseason. Don't worry. Other roster news, the Canadiens, the Flames, and quite frankly, a bevy of other teams are apparently still interested in Bruins forward Pavel Zacha.
Well, the Montreal Canadiens are looking for a second line center, but they're not the only ones. And there's been some speculation that there's been nothing close, nothing imminent, nothing, you know, tangible. But there's been preliminary discussions, feeling out discussions, and that the Canadiens have been one of those teams involved in talking with the Bruins about Pavel Zacha.
We'll see where that goes, if anywhere at all. The Canadiens put out their promo schedule for the season this past week. Their specialty nights, their promotional nights. You know, bobblehead nights, that kind of thing. Hey, there's a Lane Hutson bobblehead night, which is pretty fun.
Nice. Add that to the shelf here.
There's an Alexander Carrier bobblehead night. If
You can add that to your shelf.
No. in all seriousness.
No disrespect to Carrier, but
I don't need a bobblehead of Carrier.
I've got Jean Béliveau, Saku Koivu, and Carey Price bobbleheads. And you just want something with some gravitas.
Gravitas, yeah. But in all seriousness, there was one particular night that certainly jumped out to me that I think is great. I will be curious to see how they go about approaching it. And that is that they are going to honor Andre Markov on December 3rd prior to a game against the Winnipeg Jets at the Bell Center. They are having an Andre Markov night. And my question is, are you going to let him suit up and finish out his 1,000 games?
Well, he'd have to play, 7 games?
Well, then do it.
Not going to happen.
But
it'd be nice to, and not the first time he's been in and out, but it I think meaningful too, for Andre Markov to be there, and you know, there are some young players in the Canadiens lineup that may look up to an Andre Markov. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a pretty special night.
I think so too. All right, let's take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Kicking this off, ranking season continues, and The Athletic has put out their ranking of the top 20 Calder Trophy candidates for this coming season. There's some interesting rankings in this. We're actually going to start towards the bottom and work our way up to number one.
Well, and we've talked about this with Jerome Berube when he was on for the draft, and just kind of looking forward. You know, there Lane Hutson won Calder last year, and certainly earned that. And just the discussion about, well, could the Canadiens go back to back? And it hadn't happened in all those many years. Mm-hmm. But Jerome said, well, there's a pretty good class of players, and he listed off a number of them. Well, now Scott Wheeler has put out a list on The Athletic about 20 candidates that could be vying for the Calder. And yes, so we're not going to go through all of them, but let's take a look at a few.
I actually think it's interesting that they've got Michael Misa all the way down at 17.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives you an idea of how stiff the competition's going to be.
For sure.
If Michael Misa is three spots from the bottom of this top 20 list. But not too far away from him, but above him, coming in at number 13, is a St. Louis Blues defenseman by the name of Logan Mailloux.
Well, yes, he will be playing for the St. Louis Blues. He will be a rookie. They have suggested that he has a spot in the lineup for the big club. And the Athletic says the question is not whether he can put up points. And he already has 5 points in his first 8 NHL games. And it's about whether he can adjust. He showed great improvement at the AHL level in developing his reads and playing in the defensive zone, and whether he can do that effectively enough that he's in the conversation for the Calder. The Athletic seems to think so.
Matt Schaefer is another one who obviously was a big deal this year at the draft. They have him ranked at 11.
Number one overall pick for the Islanders. They have ranked number 11. The next name keeps popping up, mainly because he was at one time offered to the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. Yaroslav Askarov for the San Jose Sharks comes in at number 7.
Number 5, Sam Renzel, the defenseman from Chicago.
Yeah, Renzel, Nikushkin for Carolina, Zane Parekh at number 3 for Calgary, Zeb Bouyum for the Wild, mm-hmm. which leaves
their top Calder Trophy candidate is none other than Ivan Dimitroff with Montreal.
And I kind of agree with them. And in their write-up, we're reminded, if you need reminding, that he broke the all-time KHL record for players under 20. And that what's impressive about that is the ice time, his inconsistent ice time in and out of the lineup, yeah. under 14 minutes of ice time per game. The
different line mates constantly.
Yeah. And what they say in the Athletic's write-up is, quote, Dimitroff is the most purely skilled forward in this Calder class, and it's not particularly close. And I think that's a fair characterization of that.
I think so, too. The NHL Network has also done some rankings this past week of their top 25 prospects. This is just top 25 prospects overall. And two Canadiens prospects land on this list. Sneaking in at number 24. Didn't somebody recently say this guy was no better than a backup? it would be goaltender Jacob Fowler.
Oh, man. Unbelievable stuff from this guy. And it's been a steady progression for this player. And a guy who, when he was drafted, they looked at him and said, is he really committed? Is he in the physical condition that you want a player to be in? And I think that critique was debatable amongst teams. The Montreal Canadiens said, yeah, this is something we can help you along with. And as he's gone along that path, he's increased in that area. So now the physical part of the game and whether or not he's out of shape, that's not to be worried about. What they really like is that they think he's a gamer. In big situations, he stands up to the task, whether it's in the USHL, whether it's playing college hockey, and then getting a taste of the pro ranks last year with Laval in the American Hockey League. He seemingly has answered the bell in all situations, doesn't get rattled, gives up a bad goal, forgets it like a great closer in baseball, turns back to the task at hand, and continues to be successful.
That was our dear friend Sam Cosentino speaking there for the NHL Network. You know, Sam, a hockey analyst on Sportsnet and for the NHL Network, and has been a contributor to our draft coverage. And glowing words for Jacob Fowler, and talks about the fact that, yeah, there was some issues about size and conditioning at the start. He's got those conditioning issues under control. And the fact that above all else, the Canadians see him as a goaltender who can come up big when the games are most important. And pretty glowing words there from Sam. And I should mention that of those 25 prospects that the NHL Network talks about, there is only one goaltender in their list, and it is Jacob Fowler.
Pretty high praise, to say the least. Looking forward to seeing how he does this weekend at the Prospect Showdown. So you have to go all the way up to number 2 on their list to find the other Montreal Canadiens prospect who comes in almost at the tippy top of their rankings of top 25 prospects. Coming in at number 2, let's hear what Sam Cosentino has to say once again, this time about the number 2 selection, Ivan Demidov.
Yeah, he sure does. And I think a lot of people were wondering, how was it possible that he slipped to 5th in the draft? We were looking at Chicago in the number 2 spot in that time. They went with Artem Levchinov, who I think is going to be a really good defenseman in the National Hockey League. But I think this guy has star potential. And so when you look at him debuting in the KHL at 16 years old, he goes out, does great things in the KHL, eventually makes his way over. I think there's a pretty good connection between the Montreal Canadiens and Demidov, but to think of the creativity he had stepping into that market and performing as well as he did, putting that crowd on the edge of their seat every time he touched the puck, really cool stuff to watch. And I think this guy has future star potential.
Future star potential. Take it from Sam, and yeah, we think so too.
Absolutely. As Rick mentioned a few moments ago, oddly, it was a question that we asked, was it last week or the week before on the show?
It was last week.
It was last week on the show. We posed the question, hello, knock, knock, knock. Is there going to be a behind the scenes at the 2025 NHL draft production coming from out of the Canadiens multimedia department? Well, apparently they were just waiting for us to ask, I guess, because they finally released it this week.
Inside the Canadiens draft meetings, behind the scenes at the 2025 NHL draft. Yeah, typically it comes out in August, the second or third week of August. Last year it was out the 22nd of August, I believe. Much delayed this year. And maybe we understand a bit of that now that we've had the chance to view it when it came out this week. It kind of got, given that there's so much else happening this week, it kind of got lost, I think, and maybe with reason. If it had been out in August, it would have been the only thing that Habs fans were focusing on. And listen, we both said that we were a little disappointed with the, not a little disappointed, a lot disappointed with the decentralized draft this year. And the decentralized draft mm-hmm. meant that there was a much different energy on the television coverage of mm-hmm. the draft, a very different energy. It was kind of dead and awkward moments, and the teams and the general managers and the scouting teams were separated from the picks that they had just made, and it was awkward and a lack of energy. And I'd say that similar comments can apply to this Canadiens behind the scenes draft video. It just seemed to be lacking something, and I understand that the Canadiens, you know, they gave up. They had 2 first round picks and they gave those up in the Noah Dobson trade. Well, then make the behind the scenes video about the Noah Dobson trade. And I was kind of surprised how little there was on the Dobson trade in the in the video. I guess I was expecting more background on the trade, and yes, they referred to it, but I guess I was expecting more. For me, the highlight, I think, of the entire video was the call that Kent Hughes made to Demidov to get some intel on, you know, they wanted to draft Alexander Zarovsky. They were even considering using one of their first round picks if they retained it to pick Zarovsky. He was generally regarded as a second round selection. The Canadians had him much higher on the list, and they traded up to make sure that they got him. They valued him that highly, and Kent Hughes put out the call to Demidov to say, you know, what can you tell us about him? And of course, Demidov was pretty glowing in his praise for mm-hmm. his friend and countryman. So I think that was kind of the highlight of the video. There was other interesting moments, and I mentioned Hayden Papanakis. They went back to the combine and had his interview, much of his interview with the team at the combine. And, you know, we know that the Montreal Canadiens always ask.
Notorious.
Yeah, they're notorious for asking the weird questions, but they always ask, what kind of animal would you be? And that's kind of their standard question. And Papanakis said he would be either a polar bear or a grizzly bear, and something about, well, and to make the connection with him as a player, said, my game is vicious. Okay, cute, and you know, he's probably thought about it. But Dr. David Scott, the sports psychologist by the Canadians, and we know him from past videos, and he asked some questions that I think are out of line, but some odd questions, and he latched onto that and said, you played, you know, so many games
with Kelowna,
you made so, and you only got, you played 39 games, you only got 29 penalty minutes. How is that playing vicious? It doesn't sound very vicious to me. Holy moly. very overly dramatic. Yeah. And Papanakis, like he was swatting a bug, just kind of, well, you don't need to get penalties to play aggressively, to play vicious, in his words. That his intent was to play an aggressive game, to play a competitive game, to play a physical game, and you don't need to two-hand a guy in the face.
Which is what he actually said, that you don't need to two-hand. Yeah, basically kind of looking at him like, well, I didn't say that my game is violent. I didn't say that it was out of line or inappropriate or undisciplined.
And then Dr. David Scott has Papanakis went, oh, you, I really challenged you on that one, boy, and you handled it well. So I don't know if he was playing for the cameras or what, but I thought that was a bit of a silly moment.
Oh.
The LJ Mooney thing, that again, you don't have them in the room. You don't have, and it was a phone call, Gorton and Hughes to LJ Mooney, and LJ Mooney, and you know, you could almost, he wasn't pictured there, but you could imagine the big smile on his face, and he said, I'm pumped. and Jeff Gorton said, well, we've had a lot of success with very skilled players who are kind of not so big.
It's
kind of, he kind of backed himself into a corner there, and, you know, referring to Caulfield and Hudson and whatnot. So that was kind of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah, for sure.
And, at least they finally got around to putting it out.
They did.
Here's something that the Canadians didn't report this week, but according to Frank Saravelli, the Canadians have signed another goaltender, Kevin Mandelaise, to a PTO.
Of Ottawa fame. Mm-hmm. not sure what they're thinking. It's a PTO, so they'll have them at camp. You know, are they worrying about Kapanen getting claimed on waivers if he gets sent to? I don't know what the thinking is there, but just a bit of insurance, I suppose.
And yeah, I mean, Laval Rocket fans would be very familiar with Kevin Mandelaze. We've certainly seen him with Belleville plenty and so forth. So interesting to see how they deploy him on that PTO. With some other news from around the league, Carey Price made an appearance this week in San Jose.
In San Jose.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Had to report for his medical exam. Remember that, of course, he's got to fail his medical. Still has to take it after his contract was traded to the Sharks.
Be interesting for him to, you know, go to that building. First time new ever, players, yeah. new management prospects would have been there. But I'm sure he handled it all very well. We talked about one of the reasons that the Sharks would, we gave a couple of reasons why the Sharks would take on his contract. And one of them was to make sure that they were able to sign their top prospect. You mentioned him a little bit earlier, Michael Mischa, mm-hmm. To his entry-level contract. They did that this week, took care of business. Now that they had an extra contract spot available, they signed Mischa to his entry-level contract.
Turning into a bit of Total Drama Island out in Minnesota this week, with the Kirill Kaprizov rumors and false rumors and speculation, and is he signing an extension? Is he getting traded? What's happening? Well, reportedly, Kaprizov and his camp have turned down an 8-year, $128 million extension from the Minnesota Wild, reportedly.
And, yeah, Frank Saravelli from Daily Faceoff said this would make Kaprizov the highest paid player in NHL history in both the value of the contract, $128 million, and the AAV, which is $16 million. But not enough, or something was wrong with it. It didn't go well. And then there were some false reports that came out that that the Wild had demanded a trade list from him, and a no team trade list, and when it got a little silly. But we'll keep an eye on that, and the folks in Edmonton are watching that as well, given Connor McDavid has a contract to sign.
Mm-hmm. As much as when I personally watch hockey as a fan, as much as I am not a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins, I have to applaud the move they made this week. Marc-Andre Fleury, of course, has retired from hockey, but not quite yet. The Pittsburgh Penguins have signed him to a PTO, and Fleury will play in a preseason game so that he can retire as a Pittsburgh Penguin. And I think that is absolutely the right thing to do. I even said it last week when we talked about Carey Price getting, you know, that I hope that this is something along the lines of what the Canadians will eventually do, so that Price can retire as a Hab. Appropriate for Fleury to retire in Pittsburgh.
And just to be clear, Fleury doesn't have to appear in any action to do that. But I think it's just a nice nod. He probably would.
Probably wants to.
Yeah, to put the uniform on again. He'll take part in a preseason game. Real nice story.
I liked the accompanying photo that Pittsburgh put out when they announced it. It was Fleury sitting at like his kitchen table with three miniature Stanley Cups on the table. And he's wearing three rings wearing his bathrobe. And it looks like he's got like bifocals on that he's trying to sign his contract. It's very, very tongue in cheek, but very cute. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the show. We have a brand new, for this week, incentive from our friends and sponsors over at DraftKings for their new Pick 6 app, which is completely different from their sportsbook and daily fantasy apps. So you want to take a listen for that. It's a special offer just for our listeners and viewers here at the Hockey Podcast Network. So be sure to check that out. And on the other side, we are going to dig deep into the Prospect Showdown, all the buzz around training camp, and speaking of those Pittsburgh Penguins, all of that Sidney Crosby speculation. You don't want to miss a minute of it, so stay with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, and of course you can find me over on X if you'd like to follow my hockey coverage over there. My handle is at Flyers Rule. And once again, a reminder that with me here in the studio is our president and founder, Rick Stevens. You definitely want to be following him over on X at Rocket Sports. Also remember to follow at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram, and the easiest thing of all, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast player and over on YouTube at InsideTheCanadiens.com. So, okay, this week has officially flipped the switch. In the immortal words of Hockey Night in Canada broadcaster Bob Cole, everything's happening. Everything is happening. And so, fans of the Canadiens, it's all aboard time. It's jump on because the train is pulling out of the station. The 2025-26 hockey season is getting underway. There's just a bevy of activity going on in Brossard. Both sheets of ice seeing tons of action. You've got the veterans and so forth who are still coming in to do their informal workouts over on one side of the ice. And on the other ice, of course, Canadiens rookie camp got underway this weekend. The Bell Center is going to come alive on Saturday night and Sunday with the Prospect Showdown, all of the young hopefuls that are going to be there. It's going to be electric. It's everyone's chance to see the young prospects and get their first taste of hockey action again for the year. That's quickly followed on Monday with the Canadiens annual golf tournament taking place on Monday. And then just 2 days later, it's training camp time. Lots happening in a very short period of time. It's like rapid fire. And speaking of fire, add to that the continued smoldering rumor about Sidney Crosby. That's absolutely, those flames are being fanned this week by Sid himself and his agent. And oh, it's just kind of like if you were spending the last few weeks saying, gosh, August has been kind of slow on news, well, your head's spinning now. And you'd probably like to get off this ride for a little bit. So, Rick, there's a lot of highlights of what's happened and what is happening and what is about to happen, because there's a whole lot that's taking place, that has taken place this week, that is taking place currently this weekend, and that is going to take place over the course of the next week before we all meet again on the next Canadians Connection.
And if you've been to Brossard, you know that there are two sheets of ice. And, you know, for the most part, this summer, you know, throughout August, it's been the dozen or so Canadians players and some other hangers-on that have been there and doing the informal workouts. But that ramped up this past week, because mm-hmm. you had those informal workouts going on one side, as you mentioned, and then the prospect camp drills and happening on the other side. And if you've been to Brossard, you know that in order to get to the dressing rooms from the far sheet of ice, you have to cross. And in this case, it was the ice sheet where the prospect drills were going on. And so you get that clash and that chaos, and that's kind of what the week's been. And it offered some nice moments as well. You had Sam Monzenbeau coming across the sheet, spots Jacob Fowler. The two of them have a really extended kind of conversation. You wonder what that was about, and mm-hmm. and you kind of wonder, you know, can you look forward to a time when, you know, maybe they're a tandem, or maybe there's different tandems, or one coming in and the other leave. It's just a really interesting time for fans after, as you said, after that period of inactivity. And then this whole Sidney Crosby thing that, you know, you've heard me over the summer on the record being very, very skeptical that this would ever happen.
I'm there too. Yeah.
And then you have Sidney Crosby this past week. I mean, he didn't, I guess, deny it. He didn't swipe it away and say that's never going to happen, which kind of lit a match and got Canadians fans very excited.
Very, very excited. Frank Zarevelli weighed in on this, saying, "There is zero doubt the Montreal Canadiens would do anything to get their hands on Sidney Crosby, but the Penguins are in a spot where they're not going to approach their captain. It's going to be up to Crosby." Which, could you just shovel some lighter fluid onto the fire, please?
Well, and Crosby, so it's up to Crosby. All right. Mm-hmm. So Crosby was approached this week at the, you know, they had that display as they always do,
the media tour
in Vegas and whatnot. So Crosby was reminded of the ovation that he got at Four Nations, and you know, at the time he said it was special to get an ovation like that at the Bells, from the Bell Center crowd. He was reminded about that and was asked about, you know, the speculation. And he said, "Trust me, growing up as a Montreal fan and being not too far from there, I understand how passionate they are." And said, "I get it." And then went further and said, "And by the way, it doesn't make it easier when you're losing to hear those things." And kind of, you know, looking at his situation currently about the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously in a rebuild. And, you know, it's been said all summer that one of the few teams, if maybe the only team, that's kind of been open for business and not waiting and seeing. They want to accelerate their rebuild. And Sidney went on to say, "At the same time, to know that a team like that, a team like the Montreal Canadiens," and I think he was talking about the fans here, "want you, you know, it's not the end of the world. It could be worse." So there's worse things than having it speculated that the fans are desperate to have you in Montreal. So, like, he just kept kind of piling on. And you think, okay, well, maybe his player agent is going to come in and kind of, you know, tamp things down. And
when does Pat Brisson that ever?
Well, all right. Good point. So Pat Brisson went on and said, you know, Sidney Crosby's been consistent for 20 years. Another great season last season. He's just like Tom Brady. You know, he's never going to stop putting in these good seasons. But you know, you have to take into account, hey, he's not getting any younger. We're going to be here to support him. And it's the beginning of the season. We'll see how things go, but you know what? I think the NHL really, and I'm paraphrasing here, that the NHL really needs to see Sidney Crosby in the playoffs every year. Yeah, I maintain the same position. Here's a quote. I maintain the same position that I do believe he should be playing playoff hockey every year. You know, that's not the Pittsburgh, where the Pittsburgh Penguins are right now. So putting some pressure on Pittsburgh, I guess, and doing nothing at all, to
quell the rumor.
No.
Well, this was certainly, a topic of conversation on plenty of media outlets over the course of the past week, and on TSN Overdrive, they certainly dug into this. Here's a little bit of the interaction on TSN Overdrive this week.
Probably starts with Lane Hudson or something like that.
But you can't do that.
I'm not doing this straight because I don't want the pullback.
Yeah, it's picks and one of their prospects or two.
Slavkovsky.
I don't think it's somebody on their live roster that is playing. Like, it's not that Demidoff.
You don't think if you're trading Sidney Crosby, you're not getting a player off a live roster? No way, man.
Well, you'd need the money to work to an extent.
You do, but they just freed up $10.5 million.
Would you do Demidoff straight up for Sid right now?
I don't know, man. I not where Montreal is in their progression. I think Demidoff.
I'm doing that all day. If it's just one
you're
for
doing
one,
that? You're doing that.
Of course,
I'm not.
To bring in Sidney Crosby into the fold to get a couple
Crosby.
Years out of him.
He's a Mount Rushmore player for me.
Mm-hmm.
But is
38?
Demidoff's played 10 games.
I know, but is Montreal on the cusp of?
Well, that's
winning
a good point.
Well, does that put him over the top to be in the cusp?
I don't know.
Like Demidoff, there's a lot of people have high expectations naturally for him. I still don't know exactly what he's going to be.
Neither do I. I don't have a crystal ball.
Sid, I think, has two more years of being like elite.
Okay, so is Montreal a cup winner in the next 2 years? I don't see that. I see them as getting better and better, and maybe Demidoff is a part of that Lane Hudson progression.
Oh. Did you get all that?
But I think that was a great example of everything that's swirling around in everybody else's head too. The yes and but no and but wait, but I don't know and but depends on this, but then there's that, and because there's no simple answer.
Noodle says there's no way I'm giving Demidoff in there, and O-Dog says I'm doing it all day long.
Of course.
Now, these guys are from Toronto. These guys focus on Toronto. And if you don't know, Brian Hayes, Jamie McLennan, Jeff O'Neill do the TSN Overdrive show. But obviously, this was a big story, not only in Montreal, but all over the hockey world this week. They mentioned Demidoff. They mentioned Slavkovsky. In my opinion, those core pieces got to be untouchable. You're gonna trade Demidoff for 2 years of Sidney Crosby. That's just silly. That goes against everything that Gorton and Hughes have been preaching. I don't see them trading Suzuki, Caulfield, Demidoff, Hudson. You know, you can add Slaff and Dobson in there if you want as core pieces, but certainly not Demidoff. Certainly not Hudson. For a couple years of a Sidney Crosby. And the other part of this, it is people seem to forget that if Sidney Crosby moves, There's other contenders. The rest of the league's not going to say, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Yes, he grew up as a Canadiens fan. Let's all applaud politely as he goes to the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that's just ludicrous. Colorado, his connection with Nathan MacKinnon, Dallas, Toronto. There's going to be other teams involved and competitive, and calling Kyle Dubas and Kyle Dubas gave his usual. They reached out to, I think it was LeBron that reached out to Dubas, and he gave his usual Melbatos kind of quote where he said, our focus right now is on our younger players coming into camp with high hopes and battles for roster spots. Like, anyway,
yeah, thanks.
We have no control over the speculation about Sidney Crosby. Anyway, this is...
Well, you have a little bit of control over the speculation about Sidney Crosby.
Well, it's going to be... I don't think, Dubas is going to have a say in who he gets back. But if Crosby says he wants to go, he's going to go.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that I've seen other than this little tantalizing bit this last week that Sidney Crosby has always said that he wants to retire as a Pittsburgh Penguin. Yeah. He wants to play for one team. And whether this is, you know, we've seen the Montreal Canadiens used before because of the passionate fan base, because of the media, for players to kind of leverage, against the team that they're working with. If this is Sidney Crosby and Pat Brisson's kind of mission to light a fire under Kyle Dubas, maybe that's what it's all about. Who knows? But it certainly was a story everywhere this past week.
And it's going to continue to be. It's going to continue to be until a trade happens or until it just finally fizzles sometime into the beginning of the season. But I imagine if that happens, it will ramp up again in December and January, leading into the trade deadline. All right. So the other point of focus for the week, obviously, is Canadiens rookie camp and the prospect showdown, which is already underway at the Bell Center. Are the Leafs beating the Senators?
Last I saw, the Senators were leading the Leafs 3-1 after 40 minutes.
So. All right. Well, there's some action happening. Good luck to them. But the Canadiens rookies have to wait until 7 p.m. puck drop to face off against the Winnipeg Jets prospects. So before that happens, it's time to kind of reacquaint ourselves with some of the guys who are represented at rookie camp this year and check in with them on how their summer training has gone, what their expectations are for the season ahead, what the coaching expectations are for them, where they see themselves, what they feel they can contribute, how they've grown, how they've matured, how their game has evolved, all of those types of things. We're going to kick things off with Tyler Thorpe. Tyler Thorpe is one of the guys who has put on a significant amount of size over the course of the past year. He's bulked up quite a bit, and here's what he has to say about that.
Yeah. Since this time last year, I'm definitely quite a bit bigger. Right now, I'm around 230 pounds. So since this time last year, it's probably a 20-pound weight gain, I think. Yeah, I feel like way harder to move off the puck, like especially in the corners and everything. I feel much stronger, and I worked on a lot of skating this year, so I don't feel any slower anymore.
Tyler Thorpe is 6'5", you remember, played in the WHL. He came to the Laval at the end of the season, got into an AHL game. When the rookie camp roster came out, the Canadiens had him listed at 6'5", 210, 212, something like that. And you heard there Tyler Thorpe's, and maybe that was based on last year's measurements, but Tyler Thorpe is now pushing 230.
He had a tasty summer.
A big guy. and we remember that briefly that line that Pascal Vincent put together Tyler Thorpe, Luke Tuck, Florian Jacki, the Wrecking Ball line. And even in some of the workouts and scrimmages that Thorpe and Jacki came together, and it was thunderous at Brassard this week. The Canadians are getting some size.
They certainly are. In fact, we're gonna highlight all three guys that you just talked about. We just heard from Tyler Thorpe on him adding a bunch of bulk in the offseason. Luke Tuck talked about the unique assets that he can bring.
I think just physical and, you know, bringing that gritty component to lineup. You know, when I'm on the ice, you know, I want to be noticed, and you know, I want guys to kind of second guess when they're going back for pucks, or if they have the puck on their stick, and, you know, I'm on the forecheck. So, again, using my speed, I got a little bit bigger this offseason, and stick to my strengths, you know, playing from the net, crashing net, and be a big power forward.
Another guy that's put on some additional weight this offseason, he had a very good season for Laval, involved in the playoffs, and I like what he said. It is not necessarily about crashing and banging, but you want to be in the head of the players that you might be forechecking. You might force them into a mistake, knowing that you're coming. Have that reputation, and that's something unique that Luke Tuck expects to bring to his game.
The third component of that wrecking ball line, as you call them, from the end of last season, was Florian Jacki. Jacki certainly already kind of made his mark last year, really kind of showing his potential a bit, both on the offensive side, on the physicality side, on, you know, playing in the dirty areas, that type of thing. Well, Tyler Thorpe isn't the only one who's put on some pounds in the offseason. So has Jacki. He's up 15 pounds on last season. And talked a little bit about him adding weight.
Yeah, no, I'm 220 now, so I mean, my mom's cooking fed me well, and yeah, no, I gained some weight, so yeah, I feel super good.
So thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, added 15 pounds up to 220, and says that he just feels much stronger, and knows that he needs to be stronger to play the kind of game that is expected of him.
Definitely. He also went on, talked about the role that he could play, can play, should play on the team.
I mean, definitely an energy player that, you know, brings a physical element to the team, and I can stick up for my teammates, and also I have pretty good offensive skills, so I can put the puck in the net when I need to.
Yeah, don't forget that he had 24 goals last season for the Laval.
He has an offensive touch.
For the Laval Rocket, yep. In his 69 games, 11 assists, 35 points, in addition to those 175 minutes in penalties. You can go show that card to Dr. David Scott. But he has an offensive touch. He's physical. He'll stand up for teammates. He can bring a unique combination to a Montreal Canadiens lineup, and talked about, you know, he's not ruling out the fact of joining the team from training camp, but otherwise is looking forward to a call-up during the season.
And I think that could definitely be in the cards for him. One guy that we haven't talked a lot about in recent seasons, because he's got his moments, but I think still trying to carve out his place, is Philip Mayshar. And he talked this week about the fact that the Laval Rocket coaching staff have actually asked him to focus on some specific things that they'd like to start seeing him do differently. One of which is getting into the dirty areas of the ice more often.
And Mayshar said, quote, I've talked a lot with the team management. They know I can make plays. They know I can score goals. What they want for me is to go to the corners of the rink and the front of the opposing net. Now, last year he was, he was still learning about the game, but was limited to just 42 games. Had two injuries that kept him from being in the lineup regularly. And he added, in addition to having this chat with Pascal Vincent about getting involved more, he said, I like the way Brad Marchand plays. If I make it to the NHL, I'm going to have to be a player like him. And then he was asked, does that mean dropping the gloves as well? And he said, well, not part of my game, but if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. And Pascal Vincent was asked about this. Did you have a conversation with Philippe Machard and asked him to, you know, drop the gloves? And Pascal Vincent said, did he really say that? And of course, Pascal Vincent said, of course, I've never talked to any player and told them to drop the gloves. And he said, I think he might have misinterpreted the messages that we were trying to give him. And he said, first of all, he said, I respect the fact that you have a player who wants to do anything to expand his toolbox and to do anything for the team. But he said, I think I'll have to talk to him.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. One name that we have talked often about as being one of those big question marks as to whether or not he could potentially make the roster out of training camp is Owen Beck. And Owen Beck, we have two different audio clips from him. And I think, I would hope, you might agree with me. I know when I heard him speak this week, I said to myself, okay, this kid has learned a lot under Pascal Vincent, but he is absolutely motivated and matured to know that he's got competition in front of him, but he's got his eyes set on that NHL job. We're going to hear from him first, where he talks about what advice he's gotten from Pascal Vincent.
The thing he's always told me is just use my skating. Use it all over the ice and in transition, you know, even in the offensive zone to create space, not getting beat on the defensive end. I think that's, at my core, I think that's probably my best asset. I know I can shoot the puck as well, but I think skating at its core is definitely, my strongest asset, and I look to use that all over the ice.
Pascal Vincent called him a thinker, mm-hmm. that he's smart, he has great vision. Good skater for sure, but he's very cerebral, and can analyze things about the what's going on the ice, but also self-analyze what he needs to do when he's out there.
He also talked a little bit about what it is that he could bring to the Canadiens lineup.
Right now, I can't look too far in the future. I can see myself as a Swiss Army knife guy, but I think, in the short term, I would see myself, as a bottom six guy who can, play a reliable and smart game, be relied upon in the defensive zone, no matter who's on the ice. Being a guy who can win draws, that's always been a strength of mine. I think I've penalty killed in the past and can be of service in that regard as well. So those are all things that I'm looking to bring.
A Swiss Army knife. He can bring a lot of different qualities. And he expanded that his own tool set last year by playing on the wing, and so he can be at center, and he'll win you some draws. He's a good face-off guy. He got experience at the wing, and he said last year was the first time he had really ever played on the wing, and Laval did that to give him other things to offer Coach Marty St. Louis when he does get into the Canadiens lineup. That he wants to be a good defensive player and it doesn't really matter who's out there. It's not necessarily does he need to be matched up against the opposition's fourth line. He wants to be relied on that he can be a good defensive player no matter who's out there. And he mentioned the penalty kill. And of course, that's an area of need for the Montreal Canadiens with Yoel Armia, Christian Dvorak no longer there. So he has a lot that he can bring to the Montreal Canadiens.
Most definitely. Vincent's Roarer. You might recall him. He's been playing over in Europe all this time, but he of course here at rookie camp and has a very interesting answer when asked about what his identity in the NHL would be.
I mean, for me, I think it's, I mean, you never really know, I guess, especially in the NHL, it's more of you get what you take and you try to hold on to it. But if I would put it down, it's for me not a lot different than it was in Zurich. I mean, for me, it was, I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, because I don't know which spots are open, but I guess, like, in the PK, I think it was a big part in Zurich. It was third line, bringing in intensity. It was sometimes fourth line. It was just, like, bringing in speed, bringing energy, bringing skating, competing. Also, obviously, have an offensive attribute, too. But that's a couple adjectives, I guess, that would describe that.
He's fantastic. I wanted to add, his whole interview was great. And we haven't heard a lot from him recently, so I wanted to make sure to include that. He's so mature. He's very thoughtful when he really tries to answer the questions that he's asked. And I think part of it is, you know, he's playing in a men's league in the Swiss leagues. And another guy who can bring a whole variety of, he can bring intensity, he can bring energy, you know, he can block shots, he can be on the penalty kill, he's got a high compete level. I liked, and of course we're not going to see him this year. He'll head back for one more year in the Swiss League, but this is somebody to when you're making out your lineups for next year, just keep him in a column that you might want to think about adding him.
Definitely. Now we have talked already about Jacob Fowler, and of course I think everyone's anxious to see him perform this weekend at the Prospect Showdown. But it's always interesting. It's one thing when you ask players to weigh in on what they think or how they view another player, whether it's someone that they play with or it's someone that they play against. It's a different thing when you ask a goaltender to comment on a forward, because a goaltender obviously interacts with and sees a forward in practice in a very different way. And Jacob Fowler had some interesting things to say about Ivan Demidov.
Quote, he's a special player and an even better person off the ice. His talent is some of the highest I've ever seen. It's also the way he works with it. It's only going to get better. And I think that's a good point. We've heard Suzuki, we've heard other forwards describe Demidov, but this is someone who has had a first opportunity to go head to head. That is Jacob Fowler with Ivan Demidov, and it's
be on the receiving end of his shots.
He's very impressed,
definitely. So do you want to review kind of who's been put together?
I'm not going to go through all of this. This is of course the game, the first game of the Prospect Challenge Showdown for the Montreal Canadiens is later tonight, so we don't know what the lineup is going to look like. We haven't seen that yet, the lineup for the Canadiens versus the Jets. But what we saw in the practices and some of the workouts and some of the drills was interesting. And what does it say about? Does it say anything about what we might see at the main training camp? Oliver Kapanen was centering Florian Jakai and Ivan Demidov
on the top line.
Does that say, we know Demidov's going to be in the lineup? Does that say the Canadians are leaning towards an Oliver Kapanen? Does it say that Kapanen might be one of those candidates to that rotating position that could be the second line center. Now, I fully acknowledge that, you know, you work with what you have. So these aren't going to be necessarily anything we'll see in training camp. But do they give us any clues? Oliver Kapanen, has got Demidov to the right of him. Owen Beck, he's got Tyler Thorpe and Vincent Rohr. Now, we know Vincent Rohr is going to back to the Swiss League, and Tyler Thorpe is going to be in Laval. I mean, we know that. So does that say anything about how they're thinking about Owen Beck? I think what's positive for Owen Beck is they have him at center here.
Yeah.
Philippe Machar on the third line with Luke Tuck. As far as the defensive pairings, Adam Engstrom on the left side with David Reinbacher. Obviously, those are the two best rookie defensemen in camp, and then Fowler leads the list of goaltenders. So we'll see. We'll watch more closely, and we'll talk about it next week. As far as we'll have information of lines and defensive pairings, what happened for the rookie showdown. We'll also have the start of training camp, and if we'll see any lines already by next week's show.
Definitely. So for this week, we have two questions for you for the Canadians Connection question of the week. You can answer one or you can answer both. Totally up to you. But we definitely want to hear your thoughts on these two questions. First off, which prospect do you believe will turn heads at the Canadians' main training camp? Not necessarily at the rookie camp, but which prospect do you believe is really going to turn heads at Habs' main training camp? Second question, who would you give up off of the Canadiens roster in a trade to acquire Sidney Crosby? Let's just put it out there. Who would you be willing to give up on the Canadiens roster to get Sid the Kid in a Montreal Canadiens sweater?
And be a little realistic.
A little. A little.
Don't give up the player that you want to see go most and you know.
Yeah, like yeah. What do you think, like, where do you draw the line? What is acceptable and what is not?
Exactly.
For a trade to acquire Sidney Crosby with the roster that the Canadiens currently have. Send us your answers to the Rocket Sports text line at 5853-ROCKET. Drop them in the comments on YouTube over at InsideTheCanadiens.com or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Can't wait to hear what y'all have to say about this. And while we're waiting, we are going to take our final break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. Up next, we are going to get you all set for next week's show, give you an idea of what we will be covering next week, because there will be a lot of it, as well as bring you your replies to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. So don't miss it. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 365 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, don't forget, if you haven't done so already, now is the perfect time to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Wherever you're listening right now, just be sure to hit subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. It's the perfect time because hockey season is starting. Hockey season's heating up, and we don't want you to miss a single bit of coverage that we've got coming for you this year on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, written content over at HockeyHotStove.com under the Canadians logo, over on the forum over there as well. There is just so much content that's going to be brought your way by the Rocket Sports Media team in general, and we don't want you to miss any of it, so be sure you do that. Don't forget to get in your answers. Choose one or both of this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which prospect do you believe will turn heads at the Canadians' main training camp? And or who would you give up off the Canadians roster in a trade to acquire Sidney Crosby? Can't wait to hear those. We will read the best responses to both of those questions on next week's show. But first, we want to bring you what your answers were for last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, which was a poignant episode because we were celebrating the life and career of Ken Dryden after his unfortunate passing last week, but also with the news of Carey Price's contract being traded, looking back at the magnificent career that Carey Price had with the Canadians as well. And so we asked all of you, what is your favorite on-ice memory of Carey Price and or Ken Dryden? And I think you have, to kick us off, I think you have a text that came in on the Rocket Sports text line.
Texts at 5853 Rocket. This is from our dear friend Dino from the Ottawa Gatineau area, and he thought a poem was appropriate. He said, "Hi Rick, hope things are well. Roses are red, violets are blue. Our big Ken Dryden up in heaven with the red, white, and blue. Take good care, 29 always," from Dino.
I like that. Dino's always good for something a little unique, and that was great. Over on YouTube, we have at CrankyBastid2197. I think this is a first-time commenter, and he put a lot of effort into this. It was a great comment. He says, "I grew up watching the 70s Habs. We were spoiled. Ken Dryden was my idol. His mask, number 29, and his poised stance with his stick were and are iconic. There's a picture out there where Kenny was standing with his stick in his blocker hand and his glove hand on the top of the net. His head was facing left as he watched Serge Savard chase another player inches away from the net, and Kenny was as cool as a cucumber. I'll never forget that picture. It was the definition of confidence." Then he said, of course, this was actually...
And that's a brilliant point, because I do remember that Ken had full confidence. Well, and why wouldn't you in the big three, the defensemen that were in front of him, and the rest of the team that was in front of him, and vice versa. They had full confidence in Ken Dryden back there.
Absolutely. I should mention that his answer, yes, is in response to our Canadians Connection question of the week, but more specifically a question that we put on the community post tab on YouTube that kind of narrowed it down even further to say, how has Ken Dryden or Carey Price influenced your Montreal Canadiens fandom? So then he continues by basically just making one very short statement, the St. Patrick era, obviously giving a nod to Patrick Waugh. Then he says, "Carey Price was my third favorite goaltender. I wanted him to be the best there ever was. It wasn't to be. In my heart, I loved watching Carey play. I wanted him to win cups. He should be enshrined with the greats and have his number retired when he retires. I teared up when I heard the news of Kenny. Long live the Habs and their beautiful legacy." And so thank you for that very thoughtful comment, kind of taking us through why you appreciated three very big names in the crease for the Canadians over the years. So don't forget, we've got a lot coming up this week. And so next week's show is going to be packed. We are going to recap the prospect showdown games and review how the prospects performed in these two games against the Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs rookies as well. We are going to have likely a lot of audio and analysis coming out of the Canadiens golf tournament that takes place on Monday, because the golf tournament is one thing. It's the massive press conferences that happen before tee off that really take center stage, where usually Jeff Molson speaks, the GM speaks, Jeff Gorton, Marty St. Louis, a number of players. We're going to bring you the analysis of all of that. And then once training camp starts.
And it sets the tone for the entire season.
It does.
We'll find out what the mission is for the season.
That's right. There's going to be a lot to, it's usually one of those press conferences that there's the things you take for face value, at face value right on the top. And there's also a lot of read between the lines things that you usually get out of that press conference as well. So we're going to kind of walk you through what is said and how to interpret what wasn't said, kind of. And then, of course, training camp starts on Wednesday, and we're going to get our first look after a few days of what lines are being run in drills, what guys are looking like together out there, who's being tried where, that type of thing. It is going to be a jam-packed show next Saturday. You do not want to miss it. Hit subscribe if you haven't done so already, because that is going to take place Saturday, September 20th, on podcast platforms everywhere. It'll be out on YouTube the following Monday, and we can't wait to dig into it, all of it, with you. Enjoy the Canadiens Prospect Showdown this weekend. I know all of the teams that are participating are streaming the games on their own platforms, so be sure to check them out. And we'll see you again next week for another fantastic episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.